But there are more surprises in store yet. For as you get up near 11 o'clock, you're working out all of your karma and you're awake during most of your birth. Get to 11:59. New choice. 11:59. At that point, you can merge back into, give up the last vestige of separateness that's left, which is merely the thought of I. That's all that's left, the thought of I. Or you can push against the final merge and stay in form. And why would you stay in form? Not because of your personal desires any longer, because you don't have any. You stay in form because of what in Tibetan Buddhism is called the Bodhisattva vow. You stay in form because of the suffering of all sentient beings. That's what a guru is. It's a being who is staying in form in order to relieve the suffering of other beings. 11:59. Where are you? 3 o'clock? 5 o'clock? You're at least past 6 o'clock or you wouldn't be in this room. 7:30? 9? 10:30? 11:45? Are these moments on the clock births and deaths? Could you go through the entire clock in one birth? There is no fixed time, no time units. It's the karmic clock. And the final realization at 11:59 is that the entire clock was an illusion. For at that moment, path and pilgrim and goal merge into one. And you see that the entire clock was within the illusion of time. When Buddha says, you already are the Buddha, meaning you already are fully enlightened, you're merely busy thinking you're not. And the entire sadhana, the entire path, is the path of awakening you out of your illusion of separateness to acknowledge who you already are. Thus, nobody teaches you anything. They merely remind you. And that what you are seeking is not out there. It doesn't lie in me as opposed to lying in you. The only difference is that I'm not as attached to who I think I am as you are. The act of meditation is the act of transcending your models or molds of who you are to recognize yourself. What is it you want this lifetime? What is it you want? Somebody at 4:30 wants more pleasure. Somebody at 8:30 wants to return to the source, wants to know God, wants to become enlightened, wants to be free, wants to be realized, wants to be liberated from suffering. A person at 8:30 recognizes Buddha's Four Noble Truths, that the cause of suffering is clinging or attachment, and says, "Help me free myself from clinging and attachment so that I might end suffering. Let me be free." At 4:30, you try to optimize pleasure and minimize pain. You try to get high and avoid the low. At 8:30, you say, "Everything in my life, the highs and the lows, are all grist for the mill of going home. I will eat it all." And it's even farther out than that, because at that point, your suffering becomes functional for your awakening. Your suffering literally becomes grace. That's a heavy one. At that point, when you get caught in anger far out, it's showing you where you're clinging, and you're more interested in getting done with clinging than you are just getting high again. Then you are ready to take life as it comes towards you, without defining this but not that. I want a new Cadillac, but I don't want cancer. By 10 o'clock, you're ready to say, "Ah, new Cadillac. Ah, cancer. Ah, life. Ah, death. Ah, pleasure. Ah, decay." Because all of it is seen only in relation to that television channel in which the soul is going home, and everything on all the planes is grist for the mill of the process of awakening. You use it all. And your life at this moment is an absolutely perfect statement. Perfect. Most of you sit around saying, "If only, whatever, if only I were 20 years younger, 20 years older, richer, poorer, more beautiful, a different sex, whatever, if only." By around 9 o'clock, that's all over. You're looking at just how it is, and you're saying, "Far out. Well, what am I going to do with this one?" Now, this is where it becomes very delicate. Because as you keep flipping these realities... Is this too heavy, or are you... Can you hear me? I'm sorry it's so heavy, but it'll be clearer after. I'll get lighter after a while. It's just... I don't know why. It's whatever the... vibration. When you are busy identifying with your suffering, you are a tremendously socially concerned human being, because you look around and you think of all the suffering, and your empathy is very great. When you shift these channels a little bit and you ultimately look up, and you begin to see all of the forms of the universe in perfect harmony with one another, and you begin to experience the perfection of the flow, including the suffering, the violence, the starvation, etc. At that moment, you look at the universe and you say, from your great height, high in the Himalayas, you say, it is all perfect. Now, if you stop in that reality, you can be very, very high in the Buddha mind, but you forgot the bleeding heart of the Christ. The liberated being is the being who simultaneously is looking up and seeing the perfection of it all, and looking down and seeing the blood on the snow and seeing the suffering. The balance is that you, as an incarnated being in North Miami High School, North Miami Beach High School, must honor your incarnation in order to be free. You cannot deny it, and your incarnation is as a human being living among many human beings, most of whom are suffering unbearably. That balance, the balance of the Buddha mind, of seeing the emptiness of forms and the perfection, and at the same moment keeping your heart wide open to the suffering in the universe around you, and using your incarnation to alleviate suffering, that is the balance that is the statement of liberation. If you get so high that you're walking down the street, so high that somebody trips and falls and you don't bother to help them up because, after all, it's perfect, you forgot God in form. If you're so busy helping the person up on the street that you forget at that moment the perfection of the entire dance, including the fall and the helping, you forgot God in the formless state. It's a tough path to have the strength to keep it together in form and formless, to relieve suffering and to work with suffering. See, how you deal with suffering depends on the level of consciousness. Like the example that I've used before, if somebody comes to you and says, I am a yogi, I would like to do a fast and I am healthy, and I say, all right, fast for 9 days. And they come to me at 7 days and they say, I'm doing fine. I say, great, you go right ahead, fast some more. If I then walk out on the street and somebody comes up to me and says, hey man, I haven't eaten in 7 days, you got a quarter. I don't say to him, you're doing fine, proceed, right? There's the quarter. Because his level of consciousness, he's busy suffering. The other being is using the suffering to awaken. It's the same thing, they both didn't eat for 7 days. One person is busy being the person who didn't eat for 7 days. The other person's being the person who's going to God. No judgment. One person's at 4:30, one person's at 9 o'clock. You don't judge that a person that's 40 is better than a person that's 20, they're just 20 years older. The beings around you represent different ages of incarnation. Your parents, your children, your brothers and sisters, your friends, all different. All different. For a moment you might meet in the journey and then spread apart. No matter how hard you try to grab their hand, it can't happen because you are at different levels of the dance. You have different work to do.